Amen. That's a very short scripture passage for this morning, but it's packed with meaning. And it's my prayer this morning, my friends, that this may bring some healing to some of you or people whom you may know. And so I've given this morning's message a title, How to Be Better and Not Bitter in This Life. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, that left a bitter taste in my mouth? Have you ever heard somebody say that? Have you ever said it? Well, you weren't talking about eating something that was bitter. You were talking about something that happened by somebody that turned you off, that annoyed you, that it just didn't set right with you. And so you walked away and you said, you know, that really left a bitter taste in my mouth. Now, if it's a temporary offense, we just move on. Something bothers us at the supermarket, or somebody says something flippantly and it leaves a bitter taste, but we don't dwell on it. We get in our car, we drive home, we just forget. However, when we have a bitter taste in our mouth and we let it stay there for a long period of time, the writer of Hebrews says it will eventually go deeper and deeper and deeper, and it will become what he calls a bitter root, living, residing within us. What Barbara just read, I'd like to reiterate. It says, see to it that nobody misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble in your life and defile many. That's the ramifications of having a bitter root grow in our lives. You know, the Greek word, and I won't, when I was in seminary, it was all Greek to me. But the Greek word for bitter means something that's poisonous. That if you taste it, it's revolting because it's poisonous. Something that has the ability to pierce, something that's cutting, something that brings about pain. This is the root word in the Greek, because many times in the English, it doesn't translate well. It brings pain. It's unpleasant. It's something sharp. It's something pungent. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I taste something that's pungent, I look like a raccoon sucking on a lemon. It's a lousy feeling. And that's exactly what a bitter root does. It introduces something into our life that's poisonous. It's painful. It's sour. It's not healthy for our lives. It causes trouble, the writer says, and it defiles many. I looked up that word defile in the Greek as well, and the word defile, and it makes sense in the English as well. Sometimes the translations work. To contaminate something. For instance, if there's a body of water and it's contaminated, you can no longer drink from it because it is poisonous. And so it says it defiles many. It contaminates people who are around us. And oftentimes when you meet a bitter person, usually people that encounter him or her, they too will become uncomfortable and contaminated. You see, when we allow this bitter root to grow inside of us and within us, it not only affects the person who's harboring that bitter root, but it's very clear that it also impacts the people around us. Many times it's our family members. You remember that old song, "You Always Hurt the One You Love"? Right? Sometimes we could be most mean-spirited with the people closest to us. I guess we feel that they won't leave us. Right? Another person would say, "Hey, I'm done with you, pal," and move on. But your spouse has to live with you, I guess. I'm assuming that's what it is. But what causes a bitter root to grow inside of us? It's usually associated with, and many psychologists, but I believe it's biblically sound. I don't like just to introduce psychology. I believe it's biblically proven. It's a result of being hurt in the past. We've been hurt by someone in our past. And it's the harboring, as a result of that hurt and pain, we harbor unforgiveness, resentment, all associated with the abuses, the mistreatment, the betrayal, whatever it might be that that individual or group of individuals caused on our lives, we begin to harbor that resentment and a bitter root begins to grow. And I've learned over the years, my friends, in my own personal experience, that every day presents us with an opportunity where we can be offended or wounded by somebody else, and we have a choice how we're going to deal with that offense. We have a choice. It is free will. God's given that to us. How we're going to respond to somebody's mistreatment, to somebody's abusive words, if you will. We could either choose to forget about it and move on. And I told you about that at Shop and Stop. You move on, get in your car and go home. We could choose to confront that person. I like to give you a new word, carefront that person. Don't go in like Rambo with a bayonet in your teeth. We're meeting at 2 o'clock and man, is she in trouble. Go in there to carefront the individual. You could choose to do that. Or thirdly, you could choose to hold on to that resentment, hold on to that bitterness. And what's going to happen, folks, that root's going to get deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's going to really take root in your life or my life. And when we choose not to deal with it, when we choose not to carefront that individual that maybe we're having a conflict with, a bitterness and a resentment will develop. And as the scripture says, it will grow and it will cause much trouble in our own lives, and it will cause trouble and defilement with the people around us. You see, when you look at a tree, you could see the fruit, but you can't see the roots because the roots are beneath the earth. You can't expect oranges from a pear tree. What lies below the surface determines the fruit that's going to come out above the surface. And I believe the same is true. When we have a bitter root in our lives, oftentimes we will bear bitter fruit. And folks, we don't want to. Do you want to be bitter in your life? I don't know. If you do, come up now. We'll pray for you. We'll anoint you with oil. We'll lay hands on you. Nobody wants to be bitter, but sometimes we find ourselves bitter, all of us. I once had a man in my church, not this church, so don't try to ask who it is. I had a man make an appointment. He came to my office. He said, Pastor, he said, I can't hold a job. He said, I've been fired because of confrontations I've had with three bosses, three supervisors. And he says, now I'm getting into fights with my new supervisor, when everybody else loves this supervisor. And he looked at me with a sad face and he says, Pastor, I'm beginning to believe it's me. Now, I didn't say anything. I just, under my breath, said, Amen, brother, you're right. It is you. But you know what I discovered as I unpacked this man's life with him? I discovered he had a very abusive father. His father was verbally and physically abusive, always putting this kid down, always telling him he was an idiot, that he would never amount to anything, that you're a loser. Folks, when you hear that from your dad, it's destructive, isn't it? And so he was angry, and he was bitter, and he was resentful. So in high school, he got into fights, even with his teachers and his coaches, and he was expelled from the football team. And everything, anytime an authority figure challenged him, he struck back. There was a bitter root of anger and resentment and pain and unforgiveness, even though he was a grown man. And I want to tell you, friends, many of prisons today are filled with guys like this, who were raised in that environment and didn't feel the love, if you will, and they're angry and they're resentful and they challenge authority at every turn. You see, this guy that came to my office was a good Christian church-going man. He really was a decent man. He had a beautiful family. He wasn't a bad guy. I mean, he didn't fight with everybody that he encountered, but anytime authority put his or her face into his face, he saw the face of his dad. And he reacted. And he had to dig out those roots and get rid of them if he was going to have peace. I think it's important to ask ourselves regularly, God, is there anything in my life that needs to be taken out? I have to do that on a regular basis. I won't go into a long story, but it wasn't too long ago I got into a little encounter with somebody in my neighborhood, and it could have turned out really ugly because I, for a moment, forgot who I was in Christ, and I had to apologize. You see, nobody is perfect. I hope you know that. The only perfect person to ever walk the earth is Jesus the Christ. And I want to tell you, you and me, we are not Jesus. And so we have to be careful. And on a regular basis, we have to ask, Lord, what roots, what weeds are inside of us? You know, like I just brought this as an illustration. We all need to carry this around. We'd be gone. Okay? So when that ugly head pops up, okay, get rid of it. Because, you know, one of my neighbor's kids, well, he sent his kids out to take the heads of the dandelions off so it wouldn't spread the seeds. And I kept thinking to myself, but you're not getting the root out. They're only going to come back and multiply. And you see, sometimes we have to look at ourselves and realize that. I had another time, I had a couple come in my office. And they were going through some really horrific marital problems. I mean, it was ugly, fighting every day and just terrible. And the one thing I noticed, the husband was very apologetic and submissive and quiet. And the wife, in this particular case, was very angry and explosive and combative. And finally, I popped the question. I said to her, Sue, why are you so angry with Jim? And she said, you want to know why I'm angry with Jim? Because Jim had an affair with my best friend. My best friend. And that's not right. And you know what I thought to myself? She had a right to be angry. Okay, let's not just wash over something. She had every right to be angry and resentful. And there's no doubt about that. The trust was violated. I understand the covenant was violated. I don't object to her being upset, but she agreed to work the marriage out. And what was needed was to get that bitter root out of her. And what was required was for her husband to be repentant and ask for forgiveness and to promise with God's help that he would correct himself moving forward, but she also had to come up to a place to say, you know what? I forgive you. I got to let this go. Yes, it hurt me. Yes, it's going to take a while for this thing to be healed. But if we're going to make it, if this marriage is going to survive, then I too have a part in this covenant that I have to forgive my husband. So for 2 years, that bitter root was growing in her. And it exploded in my office. And friends, I want to tell you, I've met people who've had bitter roots growing in their lives for 40, 50, 60 years. 2 years is nothing. And they've allowed it to just take root inside of them. Many years ago, when I was in the police department, I was assigned to crowd control outside Madison Square Garden. I hated rock concerts. I like going to them, but I don't like handling security. And there was a fight that broke out. And when I went and grabbed this one kid, he turned around, he looked at me, and he punched me square in the face. Well, he got arrested. But when I took him to the station, I realized he was a good kid. He really was. He wasn't a bad kid. He told me this story. He said, my father's a cop. And he says, my father's very abusive. Abusive to my mom, to me, my brothers. And he said, when you swung me around and I saw you in that uniform, I didn't see you, I saw my father, because I can't hit him. And I don't suggest any child hit a parent. But he says, so I hit you. And that's what he did. Because he had that bitterness in him at 18 years of age. And I tried to talk some sense into him that, listen, don't model your life of what you're seeing in your dad. You be better. You break that root Don't let a generational curse be passed from one generation to the next. You break that curse right now and do good with your life. You have a chance, son. One thing I know for sure, being bitter over what's already happened won't solve anything, friends, because it's in the past. You can't go back and change the past. You can only deal with the present and the future. We can do something about today. And that's what I tried to instill in that young man. You could do something about your life today. God wants to break through that soil, that hard soil in a person's life, and not just take the heads of dandelions off, but to actually get deep down in there and pull those roots out. Have you ever pulled a dandelion root out? They go way down. You got to really get those babies out. Or this definitely works. Weed be gone. I want to tell you, it's a side story. I was so foolish. I thought you could spray the weeds on your lawn. The next day I went out, I had a million dead spots on my lawn. I don't do that anymore. But you got to get the root. You can't just pull the head off. I have a passage of scripture that you need to put on your refrigerator, friends. This is the passage of scripture that is spiritual weed be gone. It's taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Be kind and compassionate toward one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God has forgiven you. Be merciful to other people as God has been merciful to you. God has forgiven us for a multitude of sins, hasn't he? Well, he's calling for us to do the same. What's the difference between bitterness and forgiveness? Forgiveness means I choose to let go of my anger. I choose not to retaliate because of what this person did to me. I choose to not have this person affect my life. Bitterness means I hold on to my anger and I choose to use my free will and I refuse to let it go and I'm resentful. There's the difference. And I will tell you, the latter one will kill your joy and it will kill your peace in your life. When we choose that second option, that's what happens. So what do we do? I just want to go over four quick items. They're just very quick. But if you apply them, you could walk out of this place free today if you have resentment. Number one, acknowledge that you've been hurt. Don't deny it. Don't deny you're hurt. Some people live in denial. Refuse to live in denial. Say, I've been hurt. This person has hurt me. This situation has hurt me. This group of people have hurt me. And they've brought me pain in my life. And what happens when we are hurt by somebody else? We shut them out. I've seen family members shut out other family members. I've seen spouses shut out their husband or their wife. I've seen parents shut out their children and children shut out their mothers and fathers over pain. We ignore them. We choose to stay away from them. We may choose to speak negatively about them to others. We may think negatively about them. Folks, acknowledge your pain. Don't deny it. There's nothing wrong with being honest and saying, I have been hurt. Secondly, we need to view our hurt from God's perspective. What do I mean by that? Very quickly. A lot of times, God will take your pain and turn it into joy. God will take those moments where you have been hurt, and God will use that to grow you in your faith. I have grown the most, and I say, God, don't grow me so much, but I have grown the most when I've been challenged and pained by situations in my life. That's where my faith is challenged. Am I going to stand on the word and trust in God, or am I going to wilt and give into it? And so look at your pain from God's perspective. And thirdly, we need to not just look at others and their faults, we need to look at ourselves. Now listen, friends, I am not saying if somebody violated you, if somebody harmed you or caused you pain, I'm not saying blame yourself, because I tell you, I've met a lot of people who have been injured by other individuals and they look at themselves, well, maybe I caused it. No, you didn't. But I want to say another thing. If you did cause pain, if you were wrong, if there is something that we may have done to offend or hurt other individuals, we have to own up to that. And we have to ask God to forgive us. And God will do that. I said that last week. The beautiful gift of God's grace is that if we come to the cross and we give him our stuff, and I want to tell you, if you could see imaginary baggage behind some people, they're pulling, remember that backpack I brought last week? Well, they have all kind of baggage because they won't give it up. Have you ever gone to the airport and the skycap tries to take your bag and you say, no, you can't have it. But we do that to God. You give him your bag at the airport. Begin to give God your stuff that you're responsible for and I'm responsible. Now, finally, and I end with this, and you may not like it, and it may be the toughest. If you want to dig out those bitter roots, friends, here's the tough one. You need to forgive the person that hurt you. You need to forgive that person. C.S. Lewis once wrote, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until you have to forgive them. I want to read this in closing. Lewis Smedes, I've read many books of his, my doctoral dissertation. He was a resource and a source that I quoted much in my dissertation. He wrote this book, The Art of Forgiveness. Listen to what he says, and I quote, let me be clear up front about a few misunderstandings about forgiveness. Before we can build, we have to blast. We have to blast away all the erroneous thoughts on what forgiveness is not. When you forgive a person, this doesn't mean you are immediately healed. When you forgive a person, this doesn't mean that you're going to be buddy-buddy with that person. When you forgive a person, it doesn't mean that you're going to surrender the right for restitution and justice when appropriate. When you forgive a person, it doesn't mean that you will trust them right away. When you forgive a person, it doesn't mean that you're avoiding pain. You are just opening the door to healing. When you forgive a person, we take the journey at a pace we're able to handle. The deeper the hurt, the longer the journey will be. I love that. Has anyone ever read a book by Stormy O'Martian? Stormy O'Martian. She writes on prayer, and she said, forgiveness doesn't mean the other person is right. Forgiveness means you've been set free. I like that. Amen. It doesn't mean the person who offended you is right. It just means I choose to be set free. It's like a tug of war. There's only a tug of war when two people are pulling. But if you let your end of the rope go, that other person could pull from here until Bellport. See you later. Pull all you want. Mahatma Gandhi, who Martin Luther King Jr. modeled his ministry after, he said, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is an attitude of the strong. Now, maybe that's what we need to pray for this morning, church, that God will give us the strength to forgive and let go and let God. To dig out those bitter roots so we can journey through life with the joy and peace that God wants us to have and to be better and not bitter in this life. It's a choice. We could choose to be bitter or we could choose to be better. You choose the better option. As for me and my house, I got to have peace in my house. And the only way I'm going to do that is trust God could take out all the junk in my life and replace it with what he always intended for me to have. Amen? Amen. Amen.